faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
The stories broke like dominoes over the last year, each more horrifying than the last. China had hacked swing state boards of elections and gotten a hold of their internal files, the ones with addresses, license numbers, and social security numbers. Everything you need to commit mass fraud. Our intelligence agencies knew that this had happened in 2020. They also knew Iran had done some of the hacking as well, but they covered it up, keeping it out of the president's daily brief and even lying by omission to Congress, saying that, yeah, China was hacking British boards of elections, but like, it's not totally, no, it's not happening here, when they knew damn well it was happening here. Remember, we only know the intelligence community covered it up because Tulsi Gabbard declassified the cover-up, where intel analysts were even justifying the cover-up because they didn't want Trump to go after China. In other words, they like China better than America and wanted to protect it. Now, why these people aren't on trial for treason, I have no idea. Then remember the next shoe to drop. We would find out that the Customs and Border Patrol had seized over 19,000 fake licenses, indistinguishable from the real thing, that were being shipped by China through Chicago O'Hare. They intercepted 19,000, just one shipment. Doubtless there were more. Then we would learn via Kash Patel that whistleblowers had gone to the FBI about this Chinese scheme to elect Joe Biden, to hack the boards of elections, make the fake licenses, and then use them for absentee ballot voting on a mass scale. Chinese nationals roving around the country were behind all of it. So when the whistleblowers showed up at local FBI branches, one of them was actually interviewed. But Kash Patel would later tell us, the head of the FBI now under Trump, that interview and the opening of that case file was completely scrubbed from the system, the FBI's computer system. So that's a brief recap of past Battleground America podcasts. We've covered this extensively, and I'll put some of the links in the link section of the podcast. Now, this. Brian T. Kennedy, the chairman of the Committee on the Present Danger, China, and president of the American Strategy Group, is warning that it may be impossible to hold a fair election this fall and in 2028 without Chinese meddling on behalf of the Democrats. He's warning, among other things, and folks, to me, this is mind-blowing, that the People's Liberation Army, so the Chinese army, now has a cyber force with nearly 1 million men, and that American critical infrastructure, including election infrastructure, is one of their principal targets. He writes over the weekend in Real Clear Politics, in 2019, federal officials seized a Chinese-built power transformer destined for Colorado. Analysis at Sandia National Laboratory revealed what appeared to be a hardware backdoor enabling remote disablement, you know, of the transformer. In 2023, Microsoft identified Volt Typhoon, a Chinese campaign pre-positioning malware inside U.S. critical infrastructure to enable sabotage. And it just got worse. He's warning that if Americans vote electronically this fall or in 2028, there is no way we can guarantee a fair election without Chinese meddling.
We're in a political war with communist China. They're going to do whatever they can to make sure that America is in disarray and to hurt President Trump politically. It's a political war that they're in. Right now, we're still using electronic voting, and in big parts of the country, we're still using mail-in balloting. We saw, and this is something I wrote about in the piece, we saw Secretary Bessent in April call together all the major banks for an unexpected meeting in Washington, D.C. to talk about AI and AI's ability to penetrate our banking system. And it was really an emergency meeting in order to get them working at the top of their game to make sure that their banking systems could not be penetrated by AI, because they had seen models that would suggest that AI could penetrate our banking system. So the cyber vulnerability of our banking system is very real. Now we have electronic voting here in this country. that is much, much less secure than our banking system. It's night and day. We're going to vote again in these primaries and again in November using primarily electronic voting. These have cyber vulnerabilities that our own intelligence community, trust them or not, believes are real. So why are we going to allow another election to be held where there are real cyber vulnerabilities and there are real mail-in balloting problems?
He's referring to the emergency meeting Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent and then Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell had with all of the chief executives of America's largest banks back in April. Alarmed by a new artificial intelligence model capable of finding and exploiting security flaws faster than any human defender could patch them. He writes in Real Clear Politics, if the men charged with protecting the nation's financial system feel compelled to convene Wall Street on short notice over what artificial intelligence now makes possible, our election systems, built with similar computer technology but far less security than the banking system, are open to the same threat. Or worse. And with the SAVE Act failing last week, four Republican traitors voted against it, including Mitch McConnell and Tom Tillis. What little shred of protection we had is gone. And again, the most important part of the SAVE Act isn't the part where you have to verify your citizenship, both to register and to vote, although that is very important. It was the part that forced purple states, blue states, red states alike to turn their voter rolls, the internal version that ironically China got through hacking over to President Trump and the Justice Department so they can purge those rolls of dead people, ghost voters, fake voters and the like. Because of this Republican betrayal, Trump's having to take another route right now. It's smart. It's about all we could do at this point. They're going to go through purify the public version of the list they can get, run it against Social Security databases, Homeland Security databases, and publish a list for each state of what the voter rolls should look like, not what they do. The problem is, without the internal information that ironically China has because of the hacking, without the internal information, we can't be 100% sure we're matching voter to voter, when we're running the names against the big databases, against Social Security, Homeland Security, and all that. But it's at least something to put these states on notice that a lot of fake, ghost, dead voters are on your rolls and they shouldn't be. One of many problems is if China knows who these are and where they are, then they can vote for them at scale. But that's just one of the problems. For most of American history, he writes, Americans voted on paper ballots counted by human beings, watched by other human beings. And while there's been a lot of attention paid, including on this podcast, to the systems like that the voting machines run on, Dominion, etc., and there should be, he's making the point, the vulnerability is the architecture itself. Many of the electronic components are made in communist China. And even if they were made in the United States, they're not immune to a remote intrusion, a firmware exploit, a software supply chain attack, or pre-positioned malware. Like we know the Chinese embedded throughout the system in Volt Typhoon. The other problem he rates is that the same Chinese cyber force, the million-man force, that pre-positioned malware in our power grid, water systems, and ports, does not need a chip stamped in Shenzhen to reach American voting machines. They write, it requires only that the machine exist, be connected to a network at some point in time, and run software that could be updated. All three conditions are met.
Director Gabbard, before she left, she released declassified a document which said that the Chinese had penetrated 12 to 18 voter databases around the country. Well, what were the Chinese doing penetrating voter databases? Yeah. Other than to muck with our system, including potentially to counterfeit mail-in ballots. I'm calling for, in this piece I've written, for the president to take very seriously the idea of banning mail-in ballotings, except for in the most extreme circumstances, and to ban electronic voting, because we simply can't trust it in an age of cyber warfare and AI.
Here's his logic. The country's critical infrastructure, that includes our election system, falls under the Department of Homeland Security and the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency and the Election Assistance Commission sit in the executive branch. He says, this is so serious. Trump should at least, now that the Senate has failed to pass the SAVE Act, should at least make a run at an executive order banning electronic voting to keep it safe from China. The notion, he writes, that the federal government has no role in federal elections is plainly wrong. The problem is that these agencies are not currently equipped to defend against a nation state cyber adversary at this scale, and neither do state governments. And cybersecurity against communist China is beyond the capacity of any individual state government acting alone. Remember, when the deep state, our intelligence agencies, specifically the CIA on the one hand and then the FBI on the other, actively covered up China's hacking and also the Chinese, you know, sending in those licenses. Again, that was 2020. Trump was president. He writes, if federal authorities had actionable intelligence that a cyber attack was going to occur on America's electronic voting systems during a federal election, but did not have the ability to stop it, are they simply to stand aside and let the attack occur? Folks, we got to ask, are they even going to tell the president about it? Or will they stand aside and let it occur, knowing it helps the Democrats? He said he writes, the common sense approach would be to find a method of conducting the election that is not vulnerable to cyber attack. That's precisely why the president's executive order is so urgently needed. He writes, the motive by China could not be plainer. A second Trump term meant continued tariffs, continued enforcement against Chinese IP theft, continued pressure on Huawei, ZTE, and on the Chinese semiconductor industry, and a hardening U.S. posture across the Indo-Pacific. A Democrat administration meant the reversal of all of it. In that case, it was the Biden administration meant the reversal of all of it. Consider the numbers, he writes. Obama received 69 million votes in 2008. Clinton received 66 million in 2016. Biden received 81 million in 2020. A 15 million vote surge for the least charismatic Democrat in living memory cannot be explained by enthusiasm. Folks, China knows as well as I do that the war right now in the Middle East isn't with Iran. Iran is just a proxy of China. This war is with Chiran. That's why China spent a staggering $400 billion building up the nuclear capacity of Iran. Folks, the date we went to war with Iran wasn't an accident. It was February 28th, 4 days after China and Iran announced a deal for China to arm Iran with supersonic missiles that could take out one of our destroyers. We were out of time, folks. And it's now more than obvious if you, again, and I've told you this many times, look at what China's doing in the Red Sea. It's now more than obvious what China intended, to control the flow of trade through the strait. We've already seen it in the Red Sea, where 90% of non-Chinese cargo flowing through there has been turned back. And China's using the Houthis in the Red Sea to do this. And it's so bad for Europe that they've even forced a replacement of some of that cargo with Chinese cargo and Chinese goods. They simply just don't let the others through. But the Chinese cargo ships do get through. They've literally dictated in the Red Sea, we're going to have to go there next, at the point of a gun, what Europe will and will not buy. Folks, let me tell you what's going to happen here. Is going to be simple. China was going to menace anything going through the Strait of Hormuz via Iran and was going to dictate foreign policy, as they did for about a week there when both countries got together and said, look, you can come through the Strait if you want, but, you know, any oil or natural gas you bring through, you have to have purchased it and sold it in either Chinese currency or Iranian Bitcoin. You couldn't use a dollar. Folks, that's what they wanted those supersonic missiles for. It's what they want the nukes for. So they cannot just rule over the Middle East, but set policy, trade policy, at the point of a gun on its trade routes. China was this close. They've just got to dislodge Republicans from power. There's a reason they have a million-man cyber unit within their military. China is more desperate than ever to end this scourge. He ends his piece in Real Clear Politics, and I encourage you to read it. I'll attach it to the sources section with this. As Director Gabbert's declassifications confirmed, China has gained access to the voter registration data that defines our electorate. No election conducted on network computers that a hostile intelligence service has the demonstrated capacity to breach, and on voter rolls that service has already breached, can deliver the legitimacy a republic requires. Paper ballots, hand counted, observed in the open, can. However controversial it may sound, it is the only way to ensure a fair election for the American people.
If you knew for certain that the election was going to have in November cyber interference, cyber intrusion, and a manipulation of the election, if you knew for certain that that was going to happen, if you knew for certain, or you had a very good suspicion that there were going to be counterfeit mail-in ballots, just if you're an intelligence official or anybody in the government required to defend our election, what would you do if you knew for certain that was going to happen? We don't have the cyber capabilities to stop it. We can't do an adequate job in preventing counterfeit mail-in ballots or the abuse of mail-in ballots even. I'm calling on the president by executive order to ban electronic voting and to limit mail-in ballots and to go back to a paper ballot system counted by human beings. That would be the reasonable, common sense thing to do if you thought that there was going to be cyber penetration of our election. That would be the most commonsensical thing to do. It would be controversial. It would go to court. People would challenge it. Yeah. But it would be worth the fight to go do that, Steve. Yeah. And that's really what I'm calling on the president to do here.
Battleground America with Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.